You want to keep that or what?
I told you I want to make this all about me. I'm kidding. Cut.
Heart light.
3, 2, 1. Let's jam. Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the Nerd AF podcast. This is the season finale, episode 13 of this show. My name is Hugh Johnson. I'm here with my co-host, Richard Williams.
Hello, hello.
We got a special guest in the house returning to the show, Mr. Andrew Matranga. He is a University of Denver professor and the host of Sticker Stories, a podcast on StickerGiant.com. Andrew, how you doing today, buddy?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me back in this season finale where I've been on here twice. It was amazing. What? I have two new BFFs, a third one now that we're going to meet in a second.
Oh, yeah, so we're about to meet him.
We've had some fun this year. It's been fun watching you guys blow this thing up.
Exactly, exactly. Hey, so as Andrew said, we've got a third guy in the house. This is our new permanent host. We are so excited to introduce this guy. You may know him. Super fan Tyler Scott. Rabbit Hole at Wild Wanderer. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Super, super excited to be here. Super honored, too. Thank you so much. Like, yeah. This is super cool, and I'm really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, you schooled producer Vince in the last episode so bad that we had to have you on the podcast.
Oh.
Whoa.
This is major shade. It was major love. Shade.
Drama.
It was,
polemica.
It was a lot of love, you know. Just got a rep for Boba Fett. Can't just let the man drop.
Like, there you go.
No, Scotty
Hunter.
No.
Can't do it.
Sorry for the shade, Vince.
Like, that's right. That's right. Richard was right there.
I was like, no, you don't talk about
preach.
Boba Fett.
We don't do that.
Sorry for the shade, Vince. We appreciate
when you learn more about Mandalore.
Thank you, the Mandalorians.
Yeah, you gotta give props where it's due.
The black saber.
Dark saber.
So on DOS board here, we're just gonna get into the rundown. We're gonna do our Week in Geek. Recap our live show at Mile High Comics, which was awesome. We already introduced Tyler, so we can scratch that here. Colorado Sun, there's going to be a new newspaper here in Denver, Colorado, which as journalists we're all really excited about. Warner Brothers
and an event planner.
Warner Brothers hates Harry Potter festivals. We're seeing a crackdown there. Nightwing directors loving the DCEU's new direction, and rumors of a midichlorian trilogy was what George Lucas had in mind if you were going to do episode 7, 8, and 9. We're going to talk a ton of Star Wars here, just what's going on with the fandom and everything.
Revolt. So. Just revolt. No, don't allow that to happen ever.
Exactly. We're happy that's not happening. Jeez. And remember, you can find us online anywhere on social at NerdAFShow. That's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So, guys, let's get it started. Richard, it's been like 2 days since we were on the mic, so I don't know if we've done anything geeky since, but Andrew, Tyler, you guys are up. What nerdy things have you guys been doing?
So, recently, I have been all about a couple of the Netflix series originals, the first one being The Toys That Made Us.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I only watched the Star Wars one because you guys know that's all I care about.
Really? Like, I didn't see that coming.
There's a trend here. There's a definite
There's like
trend
all these. Here. Nope, didn't care. Nope. Moving on.
Star Wars.
So looking out.
I knew that. It was going to be that episode.
So good. High production values.
So the Star Wars one is phenomenal. They also get into like He-Man and Lego.
Oh,
and
my God. Lego one was good.
The Lego one was good. The Hello Kitty one was super interesting, honestly. And just diving into the history behind some of like the coolest toys that we grew up with is so much fun. Like, I never knew this, but Lego actually went out of business or almost went out of business like 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm. There's a great Netflix other doc about them too.
Like, there is
it
called
like Lego or whatever. Like it's a good one though.
Nice. Yes. All right. So now next week I'll be talking about how I watched another Lego documentary.
Hey,
big Lego people in our house. Right.
So boys. That's one, and then the other one, another Netflix original called Agretsuko. It's basically Hello Kitty with death metal.
Shut up.
Yes.
Has anyone seen the OJ one?
What?
No.
Oh, the
must watch. And yesterday, for what it's worth, was the anniversary of OJ and the Bronco.
That's right.
June 17th, 1994. And if you watch that, now I grew up in those days. I watched that, so I can geek out on that really quick on just the originals. But that specific one with like, what's his face? The dude who plays Ross from Friends is a Kardashian, and the guy who plays Johnny Cochran is so good. And if you lived through that, which all of us did, sort of,
yeah,
this is a worthy watch.
Was that the Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
one?
Okay. Oh, Cuba Gooding is
that was the
so,
FX one?
Yeah, okay. It's on Netflix, though.
So. Okay. Yeah, it was on Netflix, anyway, but now it's on
it's
Netflix.
Not an original. Never mind then. Yeah, okay. So good.
But it's, that's yeah, I've super seen a little good. Bit of it. It's really good.
Nice. I love their originals.
More stuff to go watch on Netflix. Yes.
Yeah, always good to have stuff to watch on Netflix. Andrew, man, what about you? What have you been geeking out about?
My life is all just geek all the time, kind of. So obviously binging on a lot of coverage post-Solo and then moving into what's going to happen with Resistance, the cartoon stuff when we're talking Star Wars things. I'm teaching an online journalism class, which is always fun. But this time I'm teaching it online, so I'm geeking out on like online teaching. And just loving the podcast that I host for Sticker Giant, where I produce and engineer those, and I get to listen to really cool small business stories. So I actually recorded two shows last week and hosted one of them, and just getting those out into the world is really cool for those small businesses because I just geek out on hearing how people started their company and how it all they're putting their dreams into reality. All so. Right.
Nice, yep. Man. So with me running the show, I got to run down with a video game recap here real quick. We got to do a quick shout out to the Shanghai Dragons of the Overwatch League. When this thing first came out, they allowed you to pick like what skin you wanted to like.
Okay.
There's different skins to support different teams.
All right.
I picked the Shanghai Dragon skin because, you know, for one,
Bold move.
Their mascot's a dragon. It's colors are red and yellow. It's just cool colors, like okay. Iron Man colors, or maybe like red and gold
right.
type stuff. Dudes went 0-40 in Overwatch League the inaugural season, completed a completely defeated season. So congrats for making history in a not so good way. Sometimes it pays to be trash.
Yeah.
So
right on.
Hey man, we can't all be the Excelsior, okay? We can't all be sitting on the top of the pile.
Exactly. Some of us have to be trash.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles Valiant just won stage 4 of the Overwatch final here, and now we get the inaugural playoffs. So we're going to have the Los Angeles Valiant along with the New York Excelsior, Boston Uprising, Los Angeles Gladiators, London Spitfire, and Philadelphia Fusion are all going to be the playoff team. So, told you I would keep track of that Overwatch League playoffs there for you. And so, here's your Overwatch update.
Come on, Boston.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm going for I think Los Angeles Gladiators is owned by Kroenke, who owns a couple teams around here in the Denver area. So,
okay, all right.
I mean, if we're fans of Kroenke, like Avalanche, Nuggets, I think he also owns Rapids. I don't know. So.
Okay.
All right. I guess we'll change allegiances then.
Exactly. Not the Boston Uprising.
All right. I don't watch it.
You don't watch it?
I'm all like this. I'm like, nah. I don't
watch it.
But I trust you.
So, Tyler, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to.
That was all very credible. I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's what happens when you.
Terrific. Moving next.
Yeah. Like, right.
Next. Yeah. Okay. Right.
That's why I was like, I trust you. That's
We got you, bro.
Out of respect for what goes on around this moving blanket here.
Oh my God.
So therefore, yes.
So Tyler, man, one of the things we did at Mile High Comics was we revisited E3 after talking about it on Force Coast, the inaugural Force Coast, Coast to Coast. We got a lot of inaugurals going on right now.
It's but, your first season, man.
Yeah, I know.
Everything is the first time.
I know, right?
This is the inaugural season finale. Yeah.
It is your first. It is our first season.
How's
so,
it feel, guys? It's cool, though, actually. We did. When we wrapped up our first season,
episodes,
I was like,
man.
Wait a minute. We just did all that? Now I can promote all that stuff? You're like, that's cool. We did a thing.
Exactly.
I've been there.
We got business cards. We're reputable now. Fossum Studios, thank you so much for being our graphic designer
in
Austin,
really nice.
Texas.
Yeah, they did a nice job.
I love you. Eric Fossum, Fossum Studios. So
Tyler, we kind of did a quick E3 revisit, wanted to get your thoughts on this. What game, is there a game that caught you off guard from last week's E3 that you're really excited about now that you didn't know prior to?
Oh, man.
Show.
There's so much stuff coming out. I'm trying to think through.
Star Wars?
You know what? Actually, yeah, that's a really good one.
Star Wars game?
Two things, actually. One, I was really excited to see that Contrary to what I had heard, EA is actually going to continue to support Battlefront, as we talked about last time I was here.
I know nothing about this, but I'm really excited. So tell me all about it.
Break it down.
This is canon Star Wars. So bring it.
I got you, man.
According to producer Vince, we'll see how you feel about this. Nothing that is not written by George Lucas. That's a double negative. Anything that is not written by George Lucas is not canon.
I agree with that. Moving on.
Okay.
Now we have to keep the new canon as part of our world, though.
Yes.
So what happens in this game?
Battlefront. Have you ever played any like the Call of Duty?
I stopped playing video games at NHL 95.
God, we got a lot to catch you up on.
No, I don't. I don't have time for that.
Okay,
I don't have random access memory for that. I'm reading Star Wars novels. I don't care about video games.
I'm going to try to make this as Star Wars as possible. Then the Empire took over all of the Star Wars video game franchise rights, and they created the most evil system possible.
Wait, who's the Empire?
This is EA in this case. I didn't know if you would be aware of who they are.
I know that. I follow video game news. I know a lot about like what goes on in video games. I just don't know anything about playing.
You realize some people don't even know what NHL 95 is now? Those
people are like sick in the head. There were so many good players in NHL 95, dude.
But they started selling loot boxes.
Jeremy Ronan.
Saying, if you're going to be good at the game, you got to buy the loot boxes. And now they backed away from it.
A what now box?
A loot box.
Okay.
So you pay money.
Is this
like
nerdy for this show? Or are we nerding out?
Yeah, this is super nerdy.
I'll make sure I'm staying on nerd topic.
It has like stickers. It has like stickers in it. And it has like t-shirts.
What kind of stickers? We're talking about?
It depends on what the theme is. Like if it's Star Wars, then totes.
All right, so the Empire, okay. I'm in the game. What am I doing? And who am I? And like, what weapons? And what's my storyline? What do I do?
You are either on the side of the rebels or the side of the Empire.
Obviously, on the side of the rebels.
And you are fighting against the other side. And so you're playing on different planets. You're on Hoth fighting against the AT-ATs.
Are there new worlds that we've never played in these games?
No.
Nothing that you
have. This is more of a throwback to the originals.
Copy that. Yeah, that's fine. I could live on Hoth all day.
Right. A lot of the music from John Williams is still there from the originals.
Of course, yeah.
So
he's done everything except for the two anthologies, but continue.
There you go. But if you play well enough, you get to play as one of the heroes. So you get to be Luke Skywalker. You get to walk around the battlefield trashing people as Darth Vader, or get to fly around as Boba Fett and just have...
Boba Fett's on Hoth?
Since it covers a lot of different maps, you pop up as different people.
That's right. You get to call them maps. Now, they used to be boards when I was a video game.
Yeah, maps are just like story places where you do things.
Yeah,
exactly. Like you can capture the flag. You can.
I'm like old dadding here, but that's okay.
Get off my lawn a little bit.
Dude, get off my lawn. I just laid sod. I could geek out on. I've got this app for my. If you want to nerd, like the Rainbird app, for those of you who are into the lawns out there listening, if you want to talk Rainbird settings.
I actually probably need that. I just put sod down in my backyard too.
Do you not? It's not irrigated beforehand.
What do you mean?
There's no hoses in there.
No, there's no hoses in there. We got rain, man.
Oh, you're
going
to just
We're not nerding out on the right thing.
Well, I'm cool. Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that. That's my fault. That's my fault. That was a guest fail on me.
You went hard, Rad Dad podcast.
Sorry. You're like, Vince was like, dude.
Hey man, nerding about grass.
Are we talking about sod right now?
Yes.
Okay, so like video game.
For sod. I had it for 16 years. I had to do it myself or pay ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah, dude, I don't have any money.
That's sod life, though.
That's
all right, so moving on. We're really excited to announce. I think the news came out Sunday that the Colorado Sun, a new newspaper, is coming to Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Right now, it's looking like it's going to be spearheaded by a former Denver Post senior editor Larry Rickman, and also business editor Dana Caulfield is going to be a part of it as well as many other Post reporters here. The cool thing about this is the way it's being funded. They're getting a grant from Civil, which also works in a bit of a cryptocurrency. And so people can buy a piece of cryptocurrency, if I understand this concept correctly, and then kind of
have to look at me like I'm going to explain it. I'm psyched about this, but I don't get the crypto thing.
So
yeah.
You got it.
People who purchase what's called a CVL token, according to the New York Times, a form of cryptocurrency, will have a say in projects hosted by Civil. So Colorado Sun would fall under that, meaning that they can vote on whether its websites violates the company's journalism standards as outlined in the Civil Constitution.
Okay.
So it's basically trying to return some of journalism access and ownership to people rather than large companies. There's some.
The exodus at the Denver Post is one of the most astonishing things that I've seen in my time covering and being a part of the media. And I did my graduate degree at the University of Colorado in journalism when we still had two newspapers here. And Vince, obviously, to my right here, like, lived through it. And I don't want to, take his story as perhaps my own. But, watching some of these people who I consider colleagues and, defenders of, truth are now doing this thing, and it dovetails perfectly with this class I'm teaching now. So I'm excited. I don't know. I'd like to learn more from Vince and the people who are doing it, but this is huge and awesome. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. I'm excited.
I know there's a lot of, I also worked at the Post, and there's a lot of former colleagues, like you had said, that are just on board with this. And former colleagues that have honestly moved on into different areas of life, and not even in journalism anymore. Right. And on that level, it's kind of sad as well. Yes, but Tyler, if you could educate us a little bit on cryptocurrency and what Nerd you time. Think about this, what you think about this funding aspect of it.
Well, so I think cryptocurrency actually plays a very small part overall in this, because they're using blockchain technology not in a financial way, but in a kind of like in a way just to distribute ownership to people.
Okay.
With the idea that you can, because as the article says, you can buy an actual like a token that says, right, I have a say in what this paper does.
Yes, sir.
But there's no like return to that, right? Like it's not like giving you anything back for owning that other than just being able to say, hey, I get a vote.
Right.
So in that case, they're using blockchain basically to make sure that decision making doesn't get too centralized, which is really good when you look at like the big media corporations where you have like the Koch brothers who own, God, I don't even know. This is better. Question for you, Matrenko.
They own a lot. They own a lot.
Okay, a lot. So they own a lot. Scientifically speaking, they own a lot.
But you name it, conglomeration in general. Yeah. Right. Right. I mean, okay. Like, yeah.
So I think that's a great thing, because one of the things, full disclosure, I'm not a media guy. And I get worried about the idea of when you have a culture that is so shaped by media, if you only have a few voices really controlling that overall, the overall script, then you lose so much. There's a lack of diversity. There's a lack of actual transparency. And all of a sudden you get situations like with the Denver Post, where reading up a little bit about everything that's been going on, they're getting tons of people are quitting. There's a huge lack of transparency and just criticism coming down from the top to the people writing. And this way seems like a way where you get power back into the individual's hands, so individual people can make real change again. And it gives them a way to do so that doesn't require them to do a huge like takeover of a company. And so it really kind of levels the playing field again to hopefully get some reliable media outlets. Now, I will say that's like super optimistic side.
Okay.
My pessimistic side is blockchain is still built on anonymity. Like, you're not supposed to be able to figure it out without a lot of work to figure out who actually owns something.
Right.
And so what's going to stop some business from just coming in? Like, what's going to stop the hedge fund that owns Denver Post right now coming in, buying up as many of these tokens as possible, and then just being like, well, we're going to proxy vote, and we're going to just say, hey, this is how we think it should be run, and now there's no way to tell where it actually came from.
I didn't think about that.
So that's a little bit. That's a little conspiracy theorist. That's a cool.
That's a cool discussion point for ownership, and I'll bring that up actually with my students.
Right.
That makes me think a lot.
So,
I don't know. Good discussion. Stay on the side of optimistic. I think there has to be some level of accountability. Like, you'd have to have
rebellions are built on hope.
Oh my God, I have goosebumps actually right now from just hearing that.
I would think that they would have a fail safe to protect against that.
I mean, blockchain, the blockchain got so much, has gotten so much press and so much attention because it brings back anonymity.
Okay.
And because it's, well, and diving a little deeper into that, it also makes sure that it's never just one person making up info. It has to be verified back by all these other
it's like the
people.
Wikipedia of finance. I don't know. Always the something of something.
It is the something of something. I will give you that. But it does concern me to think of, like, if we have this much anonymity in any structure, where's the potential abuse? And I see it as, well, a company could just come in and say, we're going to buy every civil token they can and direct this the way they want to. So I hope not, but...
Fingers crossed.
Like Matrenka says, rebellions are built on hope.
So for people who, like, for us as journalists, like, where do we think that, what are we going to do with our money in terms of... what we support? Like, will we continue to support both, or you think we'll move over to the Sun, or where are you guys at?
I'll pay for it.
I would pay for it too.
I have to.
I would support.
We'll
the
see
Sun.
What's going on. It's brand new. I mean, I pay for a lot of journalism.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
That what you care about.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Well, and I mean, if it gets off the ground, could you imagine if we actually got to the point where a news station, like full channels, were actually done this exact same way.
Right, they did other, yeah, right.
Right, like try to level out the bias as much as possible and actually bring news and media back to being the source of information instead of a source of insanity, it seems like a lot of times.
Right. Only in some venues, though. I do have to stand up for news. I think local newspapers in general do a good job, even now, of, like, keeping out the insanity. A lot of the...
Denverites doing their best right now.
Right. A lot of the bad rep comes from those large cable television networks and stuff like that.
Broadcast.
Right. So let's move on to Warner Brothers cracking down on Harry Potter festivals.
Speaking of broadcast.
Which company is taking over?
Just right down at the knees right there.
Right. Goodness. So there's a festival in Philadelphia. They kind of have like a Quidditch tournament around this time of year, or around October, I think, rather. And the Associated Press is reporting that Warner Brothers is really just cracking down on unauthorized Harry Potter festivals. It's frustrating a lot of fans. So they're not allowed to use official names, official titles. They just have to call it like a Wands and Wizards type theme. Where do you guys sit on this? Like, is this just like too much in terms of protecting your brand, or do they have a point in terms of Warner Brothers?
Take a look at what Star Wars did, and they let their fans really take as much ownership as possible. I don't see it as a net positive for them.
No.
That sounds like
Star
just
Wars Celebration.
Stupid.
All these things. Right. They're fan driven. Yeah. They're one of the best fan communities out there. Even though it's very bad and there's some toxic fandom right now with Star Wars community.
Yes.
Still, if you look at the early 70s when it was coming out, it was huge.
Well, and I mean...
And so you're saying this is good on Warner Bros. Part?
No way.
Or
no? No way. It's horrible. It's bad marketing.
Okay. Well, and I would think if you limit it down, it probably just encourages more of the toxic element. Exactly. Because then it's like, hey, we know the boundaries we can live within versus letting it just kind of go and do whatever you want to. Like... Yeah, look at all the fan-created content. You're going to shut that down and be like, hey, guys, this has been fun and everything, but you have to go home. Or call it a Wands and Wizards. Like,
that's ridiculous.
It's Harry Potter. Come on.
Your brand loses out.
Right.
Well, I mean, aren't they just, like, making... Anyway, I mean, I know it's always about money. It always comes down to money. Right. But at the same time, I mean, I was going to comic book conventions when I was a kid, and it was literally like a comic book convention and no Marvel fanfare and other stuff. It was like us there to talk about comic books and exchange comic books and buy them, or action figures, because I had Iceman. Anyway, so from Mexico. I had the Iceman from Mexico. I'm still
He's coming
probably
back,
that
by
one.
The way.
Anyway, he is. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's weird because I deal with corporate events and it's all about branding. But at the same time, I'm like, I think they can just let some things go to me and just let it be fan driven, you know, instead of branding everywhere. That's my opinion.
Especially now when you're in this kind of like transitional phase, you know, in terms of the main series has ended. There's like a ton of heat on, we talked about in an earlier podcast, on Crimes of Grindelwald and the Fantastic Beasts series.
Right.
You'd think that you'd want some positive feedback from your community. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the ways the community stays latched on to Harry Potter, which ended it back, I think, in 2011.
My students still, they have like the debate competitions around like, or muggles, whatever. I don't even know anything about Harry Potter. But you know what I mean?
It's like, not Star Wars.
Why would you? So therefore, it doesn't matter. But like, right. You know, I just know that if you're missing an opportunity to sell to a new population. I mean, you know, there's kids who are 18, 19, 20 years old that are going to take over a lecture hall in a university on a campus and like talk about your stuff. And it's like, your stuff is out there, you know.
Yeah.
Let it have its life and really let it be a part of a story for people. I don't know. Even Disney hasn't trashed that for a lot of these things.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
That's Universal, yeah. Right? Or whoever does that? Or Warner Brothers, you
WB,
said?
Yeah.
WB, yeah. Warner Brothers, yeah.
Universal's the place where they have the park.
Universal is the one that does, are they Jurassic Park or no?
Well, don't they have the theme park? Isn't that where Universal Studios is, where Harry Potter Land is?
Yeah, yeah. Wizarding World, yeah.
So,
anyway. I agree. Alrighty, well, that was a quick topic.
Well, it's just bad. It's bad. It's the bad guy. It's Evil Empire, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you can't really fight it right now. No.
Right.
In my opinion, right now you can't fight it. And I think it's, you know what? It's up to the fans. I really think if the fans want to do like things like this, like, look, I had so much fun at San Diego Comic-Con when I went. Holy crap. Anyway, but you're starting to see it a little bit more on local levels, that people, fans, are doing their own comic book conventions now and other things. And I don't see that as such a bad thing. I do see it as a bad thing if the big companies are like, you cannot use our name, you cannot do this, and they start throwing all these things at fan-made and driven conventions.
Right.
That sucks, because guess what? My money went towards this too. And, you know, all we're doing is we're helping you out. Like, the fan conventions, what are they doing? They're putting their names out there and stuff. So why?
Keeping the brand alive.
Right. So why stop something like that? It seems like they would want it and support it to a certain degree. Right. But that's me.
Well, I think that makes sense, too, particularly for, like, a Harry Potter. Because, I mean, running the comparison versus Star Wars. Star Wars has got so many years of built up fan base and of content and things like that. Comparatively, Harry Potter is like still a child. And they hinge entirely based on the idea of J.K. Rowling right now coming up with new stuff. So if you're shutting down the nerd community on top of that, that just puts a ton of pressure on like three or four people to make engaging content. And that's just not going to work.
Right.
And plus, at some point, you're going to want to bring it back. Like, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child will become a movie at some point. I firmly believe.
Okay.
It's a play right now. I know it's a book first. But like, it's going to get to the silver screen eventually. Okay. And I think that if you shut it down now, like, you're going to have problems rebooting that franchise, unlike with Star Wars, with people have just been cherishing for all these years. But, again, that comes with its own double-edged sword, which we'll get to a little bit later here. Moving on to a different sect of fandom here, our Nightwing director Chris McKay is pretty excited about the direction the DC Extended Universe is headed in. We spoke a little bit about this at Mile High Comics. Walter Hamada, is the new DC Entertainment president, and the quote was, he walked into a shit show, and he's been trying to fix it, and so
he's kicking ass, kicking names right now.
I know. And so we talked about Wonder Woman 2. We talked about the fact that Ben Affleck is probably out as Batman, as a new director is going for a younger Batman. And we also have Shazam in 2019. Yes. We'll get Aquaman, our first look at Aquaman at San Diego Comic-Con next month.
Oh, my God. DC has taken over San Diego Comic-Con because Marvel's not going to be there.
Marvel's not going to be there in HBO. I mean,
I'm like, what?
Yeah, Game of Thrones is not going to be there either. So that's going to be crazy.
So that's just going to be all DC all the time.
Right.
All DC all the time. Game of Thrones, Westworld, not at SDCC. So big time for DC to step it up. So according to Mr. McKay here, he's according to comicbookreader.com or CBR.com, I'm excited by everything Walter Hamada is doing at Warner Brothers /DC. If you love DC or movie superheroes in general, this is a great time to be alive. Patience is a good thing. So it seems like they're taking, with that quote, they're taking the long road to making the DC Extended Universe something to really just be good on its own instead of just rushing out movies as we've seen in the past couple of years.
Right.
Tyler, we haven't really heard from you on this. Would you agree with this new direction?
All right, so I'm gonna hold back from my natural, like, just not appreciation of DC Universe. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm gonna hold back.
No, don't hold back.
Well, I'm trying to see this from both sides, and I think one thing to consider is that with the Marvel Universe now hitting the Infinity Wars and about to finish this latest stage, this is actually a really good time for DC to kind of figure their stuff out and try to attack this from another angle.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm glad that they're getting somebody in there to try to figure it out. I just don't think the storm's going to end. I mean, we're hearing about standalone movies for Jared Leto as the Joker and Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker and a second Suicide Squad.
But hold on, hold on. This is what they're doing. They're trying to do like DC Universe Dark, where like these actors and directors can come in and just do a one-off and be done with it. The whole reason a lot of these, you know, people don't want to do Marvel or DC films is because you're locked in for like 4 or 5 years, if not more.
Right.
You know, so I think that's good as far as like doing a little spinoff, like an Elseworld comic book or What If.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, let's just go ahead and do that, you know? Sorry.
That's fine, because that brings up an interesting question in my mind then. So do you think that's going to get just off the rails crazy trying to keep track of like which universe is applying to which person? I mean, that would be like if Star Wars suddenly came in and be like, hey, we're going to get 5 different versions of Luke. And you guys have to keep track of who's going where. I think
people at least want 2 at this point.
Yeah. There's a guy, though, that's Oopsie. His job, though. What's that? Wait,
what? Say again?
Wait, what was the... I didn't get the joke.
The joke was people at least want 2 versions of Luke at this point. So, I mean, not 5, but 2. Because people hate Last Jedi Luke.
Those people are stupid.
Some people.
A lot of people are hating Last Jedi.
A lot of people are hating a lot of stuff, man.
I'm not hating it.
It is unfortunately out there, man.
But real quick on this DC Black stuff, I think it's also going to help because I think part of one of the things I read online was that they're going to take the new Flash movie in more of a Back to the Future-ish direction.
Right.
Made a little bit more family-friendly. So I think we might see the standard DC content become a little bit more lighthearted and family-friendly, which isn't really all that DC, and then go with DC Black to go to a darker place. I don't know. That's my, you know, speculation.
Right. So that they can have their dark movies, but a little bit more family-friendly kind of movies.
For their flagship stuff, yeah.
Right, like Shazam is going to be, come on, it's going to be like super family.
Right, Shazam.
I mean, he's a kid that turns into an adult.
But hopefully, like, Suicide Squad, which could really benefit from going from a PG-13 to an R rating.
Please.
Right? Like, instead of this whole, like... The last one just annoys the crap out of me, but if the new one decided to just pull the gloves off and say, okay, we're going to go for the R rating, we're not going to shy away from it.
Of course.
I think it'd be such a better movie at that point. And if the DCEU can kind of get their feet underneath them in this time where Marvel's just starting to start a new phase and figure their next stage out, maybe they have a chance. Right. But I'm looking at it still and I'm like, oh my gosh, Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. Or Jared Leto as the Joker, or 100 other movies that they're talking about. That it's like, who's asking for it?
Ooh, all right, so we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna kind of get our bearings here, and then we're gonna unleash Andrew Matranga on the Star Wars universe. Please. Matranga Unleashed.
Hey, hey! This week's episode is brought to you by Fossum Studios, specifically Eric at Fossum Studios. We just got our very first Nerd AF proprietary product made. We got business cards and poster cards with our logo and information that we can hand out whenever we do live shows or we're at comic shops or cons, and just we've realized it was time that we wanted to start promoting the show a little bit, and we tapped our friends at Fossum Studios to help make everything look great. You've probably noticed that there's 5 or 6 different people involved in this show, and all 5 or 6 of us all own a small slice of Nerd AF, and we have very different opinions on how things should look and how they should feel, and it's often hard for a graphic designer to have to juggle so much input into one final visual presentation. And working with Fossum, who's based out of Austin, Texas, via only email, we had just the most phenomenal time communicating with him, making little tweaks. He weighed all of the different input that he was getting, juggled everybody's different personalities, and built a card that all 6 of us just absolutely adore. So this week's episode is brought to you by Fossum Studios. Anytime that you need any kind of graphic design work, make sure to get in touch with Eric at Fossum.
Switching to hyperdrive.
Punch it, Chewy.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to the Nerd AF Show. Hugh Johnson, Tyler Scott, Is Tyler Scotch?
Yes, you. I'm Tyler Scotch.
Scotch. Richard Williams in the house. We're here with University of Denver professor and Sticker Stories podcast host, Mr. Andrew Matrenga. He is our resident Star Wars nerd. He is our Jedi Master, our woke Jedi.
Whoa.
So.
Every time you say that, it creeps me out.
Yeah, no pressure, right?
Yeah, yeah. No pressure, man.
Am I woke yet? No.
You sound kind of sleepy.
No, I'm not sleepy.
Semi-woke.
It's just such a setup. I don't know what to say.
Half-woke.
But yes, it is fun to come back here and talk Star Wars. Obviously, there's a lot of cool things going on.
And not so cool things.
And not so cool things going on. There's the big, you know, the big deal with Comcast, too, on the business side, too. So there's a lot of things swirling in the Star Wars world. And some of it is bad, and some of it is very good and fun to talk about.
Yeah, it's all about light and dark, good and bad, the balance, the force. But let's start with the bad. Let's start with the dark side here. What is going on with the Star Wars community in terms of just the amount of toxicity we're seeing after Last Jedi? We spoke a little bit about Mile High Comics about Kelly Marie Tran having to delete her Instagram for all the negative feedback she's getting for her portrayal of Rose.
And that happened to Rey, by the way.
And
she's a white girl, so it's different, right, as opposed to an Asian person. And also, there was less backlash to that movie, I think.
Right. Too.
I also think that movie came out, in 2015, right?
2015, yes, sir.
It's a little bit different political environment, too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But they're doing racial things. I mean, like, she's, like, there with her friend at the beach, and it's just like, you whatever, get off the beach. I mean, anyway.
Just awful.
It angers me because it's like this. First of all, she's an actress doing her job, reading the words she was given.
Right.
Why you gotta hate on her?
She didn't write the script or direct the movie or anything.
You don't like the way it was done?
And this is her star turn, too, by the way.
Yeah,
like, come on. How dare you take away the opportunity from someone? Like, look at what happened to Carrie Fisher, you know? Set her career
off. So regardless of where you're at, like, I think we can all agree that the things took a turn at The Last Jedi. So if we can start there, Matrenga, what are your thoughts on that movie?
Just as like a film within the whole Star Wars world?
Yes.
It was cool. You know, I was on the edge of my seat. I saw it a few times in a row. I've thought a lot about this is almost one of those things where I want to reserve judgment until the next movie, almost, because, you know, when it came out, the first trilogy came out, Empire came out, everyone probably left that movie like, holy shit, you know, the father is this. And, like, there's no way this movie could have delivered anything like that, much less anything that happened in episode two, the, you know, of the prequels. So this has a lot of things to, it's got a lot going against it, because it can't be fully derivative like Force Awakens, which is just sort of a mashup of Star Wars, which is a mashup, of course, of 10 different kind of movie sagas, from westerns to whatever martial arts movies. Last Jedi takes some serious chances. It's a slow chase, kind of a boring plot conceit, let's face it, right? Like, it's like, oh, come on, please.
Right.
Like, it's just like, it's, yeah, I don't know other movies.
Can't shoot you.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge, huge movie buff, but in contrast, like, Solo is just like one long chase from the very beginning, but fast, right? At least as opposed to slow, right?
I liked it.
So it's like, I'll take speed over slow any day. That's why maybe I like Solo kind of better than Last Jedi, personally, but that's just me.
Me too.
I don't know. I think Last Jedi has like a uphill battle going against it, frankly. We've been waiting to hear what happened to Luke for since 1983?
Right.
And then they kept him out of the whole first movie. Okay, so this is his last stand, and some people just are not prepared to wrap their head
around. What did you think of his portrayal?
I was watching it just the other night, and when he does, like, when Rey first comes across him, he's just so, like, snarky.
He's salty.
Yeah, he's so salty. And I guess Ben was, but, like, not really. And Yoda was, but, like, not the I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yoda was a little salty.
He was just more jokey with it. Hell, though.
Ben was all, like, I'm the total sage.
Yeah, he
just
was
chilling
mellow.
In the desert. Whereas, like, Yoda was like, I'm going to mess with you until I figure out what
he
the
had
heck
just
you're
beaten.
Doing.
He just had smoked Darth Maul, at that time. So, like, he also was, like, pretty confident in his ability to, like, kill them.
I'm going to be on your back, Luke.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to raid your stuff.
I'm going to train you.
How much of your stuff can I steal before you notice?
I do have, in general, to answer your question, though, I mean, you know, I saw it a few times. I gave them more money so far than Solo. I think I saw it three times, you know. It was also a December release, too, and I was teaching my class, and I was super amped for it. I'm still waiting to see the third installment of this trilogy to see how J.J. Abrams closes it out and see what he can take from that. I mean, setting the whole tree on fire is pretty badass, I have to say. Right, right. I really like, there's some elements in general, like, you got to set all on fire. I think even Kylo Ren says that, and there's a lot of cool stuff to that. Snoke's sort of a derivative hero, though, you know, and his demise was cool, I guess, but not, like, as dramatic as the Emperor.
Right, right.
Jedi.
For me personally, I kind of wanted a more epic, like, confrontation between the two.
But don't you think they did that with, like, The Empire Strikes Back? I mean, the story's not done. And, I mean, I think we can all take this from every movie that's a trilogy or whatever. It's like, the story's not done. Let's hold off judgment.
That's just, I'm hedging a little bit, I'll be honest. Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind it, but I don't hate, I'm not going to get online and hate on some young woman who is just trying to, like, do her job. I don't know.
I wonder a little bit if they broke away, or they're trying to break away from the original trilogy, because the original trilogy does have the whole, I mean, yeah, I agree 100% with you. The Force Awakens was just a mashup of Star Wars movies. If they had done the same thing then with The Last Jedi and had kind
it's
of
like
the
Empire 2, it's like, we don't need that.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Which to a degree, I mean, even Empire was a chase scene in a lot of ways. And so they're already fighting uphill. True. Now, at least with the third movie, you can look at that and say, all right, they're wide open because the emperor is already
gone. Right? Yeah, we don't need that. Right. Exactly. End on that. That's cool. This has got to be a great Rey and Kylo
show.
I do
like the idea of making Kylo Ren, I think I said this on the last one, the bad guy. Like, in making him the.
But then we have to close out the whole Skywalker thing. I think that's the best part about all this stuff is that we're moving away from the Skywalkers.
Are you okay with that? Some people were just hurt. Like, because of what they did with Luke.
But there's some people who are like, we need a Darth Vader spin-off anthology. I'm like, okay, so A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back. So we have six movies, seven movies. Like, do we need another Darth? Right. No, we don't. Six Darth Vader's pretty established in popular culture. It's really hard to move away from, like, Darth Vader just and full stop. He's probably the most iconic part of all of Star Wars. Right. And it's time to move past that, I think. I think that's hard for people.
I agree.
That's just my two cents.
I agree completely. Yeah. So where do you kind of fall in terms of these offshoot movies? I said when
so far they're winning, personally. I was just looking at the numbers. I get it. Like, you look at the box office, less than 200 million. Right. Incredibles 2 already opened. I haven't seen I Can't Wait, personally. I love that stuff. I hear it's a little not that great. But I didn't read the reviews of that movie, Solo, and I just, like, not with Pixar's, with the Incredibles 2, which opened at bonkers, which is good for them. It's like Pixar's highest release, which is great for Disney, of course.
Everything's great for Disney.
Right, everything's pretty much good for Disney. Even the backlash to Last Jedi is good for Disney. So I love the anthologies. The music is really good. I think the character arcs. So, okay, I teach my Star Wars class with American Graffiti as part of the curriculum, and also THX-1138. So I watched this movie, and Ron Howard being, you know, a central character in that movie, American Graffiti, produced by George Lucas. I was like, this is kind of almost like American Graffiti in that, like, it's like this cars and girls, and, you know, it's very obviously much more operatic and dramatic, and there's so many cool turns along the way, I think, even though we expect a lot of the beats like Kessel Run, etc. But it's not as good as Rogue One. That one's still pretty standalone, I think, as maybe the best Star Wars movie of all time, personally.
Of all time? Rogue One?
All of the time.
Oh, my God.
Like, it almost surpasses Empire Strikes Back as my favorite Star Wars movie.
Really?
What drew you to that film? Like, why?
Rogue One? The music is fantastic. Michael Giacchino, whatever he does, he's done a bunch of Pixar flicks of, I think, Incredibles even. The scoring was fantastic. I also read the book, Catalyst, a Rogue One story, and they did a really nice job with the content around that movie. Okay. And I just think they set up this sort of within the universe. Obviously, like, and you guys are talking Marvel, and you guys know that's not my bag, but there's a great article, I think it was Wired, had a story about, like, now really with these last two movies, there's so much more universe building, because even with Solo, we can go interesting directions with characters that were like L3, like, oh, wow, we tied back this cool thing about the droid being part of the ship at the end, and C-3PO going, your ship communicates in the most peculiar way. Well, yeah, because it was this cool droid that Lando, did he have sex with the droid, by the way, was very close to, you know what I mean? And so
he at least tried.
You know, he tried to, right? So. But, you know, they close these cool little loops, and like, so I like that.
Don't shame.
And that,
shame
but,
on that. Dude, it's Pride Month.
It's cool. It is. I'm cool with it. It's just we've never heard. Like, how does that work? But doesn't L3 have a line? It's like, he tried. Didn't she say that or something?
What a lie.
It works. That character was amazing. The droids in both of the, all of the movies so far. BB-8, L3, K2SO from Rogue One. Like, phenomenal.
Yeah, droids are.
Holy smokes. Like, the droid character development, the one doesn't talk, the other two do, and are female sort of lead type characters, I think are phenomenal. So I just think the anthologies are fitting in right really well. I wonder what the Kenobi one will look like. I don't know if that's true or not, or if there's a Boba Fett. Yeah, there's. I just think as much as they honor some of those early stuff, because obviously most of us, save for the people that grew up, you know, who are coming of age in the late 90s and early 2000s with those prequels, most people in general are going to have affinity to the first three movies. And whatever you can spin off and do, right on. You know what I mean? I think that hits the sweet spot for most people. I don't know. That's my opinion.
Yes.
I grew up in the early 80s, so I'm biased.
I do too.
I grew up in the 90s, and so I'm one of those guys who actually, the first one I saw was
Phantom Menace or Phantom something. Menace, that's just crazy to me, but like at the, but awesome. Yeah. But you also, though, you would have been alive, though, to see the re-release of those first three movies, which is really culturally important for people to remember. In the late 90s, 97, 98, 99, one of those 3 years in there, or all three of those years, they released the Star Wars trilogy in the theaters remastered. Which is, of course, very contentious, but that also meant you could see Star Wars in the movie theater, too.
Right. True, true.
So I think there's a lot of cool ways that we can sort of unpack the way people associate their Star Wars history.
Mm-hmm. So out of curiosity on that, because I remember when they brought out the remastered versions, they changed around a few things.
Garbage.
I mean, Han shot first. Okay, guys, Han always shoots first.
Oh, that was cool about Solo. I like that part.
Where he shot first.
He shot first, for sure.
But what'd you think of that? Like,
I didn't mind it. I was like, it's a fucking... sorry.
This is an explicit
My kids
podcast.
Are not so listening. So my kids are... My, they're here. Like, Daddy's doing another thing. Nobody cares. he shot first. I don't know. I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. With the gun that the guy gave him. That was pretty badass, I thought.
I think going back to like the remastered ones that they did, for a director to come back and say, I'm going to make these changes and I'm going to do something a little bit different from the original, I mean, do you think that takes away, adds to?
I mean, your mileage may vary. I think most of us would say just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Other than the sound design or things that you can really like, you're like, these negatives are shit or whatever. But in general, like changing the story just changes the meaning for so many people. We have put so... And, you know, they can do whatever they want. It's their art, right? But, like, look at us as fans. We have just put so much meaning into this.
Yeah. You ain't kidding.
So much meaning. I mean, I lean a lot on the – when I, especially in prep for this show just – well, today. I was like, oh, I got to listen to Full of Sith. Where are they at on some of this stuff? The Full of Sith podcast will sit around for an hour and a half and talk about, like, just – the toxic fandom thing. You know what I mean? So there's some really great discussion going on in the culture around that, to bring it back to your original question. Yeah. And they've been doing some cool stuff about Solo. They're unabashed fans, kind of like me. You're not going to hear too much negativity from me, other than when I think things fall flat. I think some of them do fall flat. Yeah, folks, if you can't hear the paws hitting the table, there is a lot of love happening here with this little hound. So anyway, I hope that answers both the sort of fandom question, but then also like, where are we at with anthologies? Big fan. And, you know, we're talking at the break a little bit about Resistance, which is the new Rebels coming out in between things. Actually, this fall, it's a reason to sign up, honestly, for Disney XD. I was actually researching it the other day. But we pirate... I'm sorry, did I say that? I find a way to watch them. I'm sorry. But anyway...
This is the cut point.
This is... Oh, yeah. Oh, you can't do that.
It's all good.
He's like, I do it too. No, don't do it, kids, as he shakes his head.
No, buy them.
Buy it all. I spend a lot of money on this content. I really do. Anyway, that we're in a cool spot. I was enjoying it. I'm prepping for my next class related to this topic of Star Wars, and we'll talk a lot about Solo and the next stuff and also the toxic fandom. I had a really cool student last time. She was a doctoral student in English, write a bunch of poems and stuff and sort of critique some of these themes and draw them out in poetry, which I thought was really neat. And so being able to see how students, younger people than me or us, frankly, look at these sort of texts and understand how they fit in popular culture are fascinating to me because, again, like I said, as fans, we put so much meaning into this. And watching how these students take these new twists and turns is fun for me. I get to sort of see it from their perspective.
Speaking of twists and turns, let's talk about Solo real quick. There was a big twist with Maul appearing.
Everybody wants to talk about this. This is so.
What did you think? What does it mean for like?
I, you know, my breath was taken away, and there, you know, the folks who I went, we actually Sticker Giant, our marketing team, all went together on opening night so that we could. We're all big Star Wars fans, and we celebrate, you know, May the 4th and everything together. And
right, right.
So we all went so we could actually talk to each other the next day. And some of them, some of the folks I work with were like, oh, what was that all about? Isn't he dead? I was like, oh, friends. You got to get into the Clone Wars. You got to get into Rebels. You got to get into the comics. There's the Dark Horse stuff, the Sons of Dathomir. And I don't know all of those things I just mentioned, specifically Dathomir, that comic series, but it's good. I've seen slates of it. But I love where his character gets developed. They didn't give up on him. Dave Filoni and that whole Star Wars Lucas story group, that whole team there, if you ever look at the credits, you know, they really have kept him around. And even some folks are like, oh, he's the most forgotten fan and all this stuff. I'm like, forgotten? Fan favorite? What do you mean? He's in, like, starting in season 4, he's a huge part of the Clone Wars. So love the Darth Maul stuff. And I love that they threw him in there. Now we all want to learn about Crimson Dawn and how Kira plays in. And, she's a very interesting character. You know, I was talking at the break here, like, Kira's an interesting story. Originally, Han Solo, like in some of the old legends, now EU, that's been taken out of canon, like, he was Carillion royalty. Now he's just a runaway, not an orphan, you know, kind of like Luke or anyone, any of these other characters that we see, even like, so, you know, Jin is sort of an orphan after her parents are both kind of, her dad's like gone, but you know, she's alone. So we changed sort of that motif with how they're developing Solo too. So it's kind of cool.
I wanted to ask you one more question about the fandom. How do you bring people back into the fold? Because regardless of what you're like, where you are on either side of the spectrum, this movie, the series is taking a hit.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Like, the Solo thing is the bad. Solo is a black is eye. Yeah, as much as I'm psyched about it, I'm like, oh, this kind of sucks.
Right.
But why, though? I mean, is it because...
Watch it get record amount of, like, purchases and streams. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like... Yeah. And there's a really good piece right up about the marketing and, you know, how they just kind of lost the narrative to begin with and changing directors and stuff. And, you know, it does... It's tough. It's a transition, but it's still good. You know, it's all good. It's all adding to our nerd life.
But what we were talking about... Is it because of retaliation from the fans? They didn't like how The Last Jedi went.
Possibly. And I think that's a decent theory.
We're not going to support this.
Yeah. So. I think also Disney marketing just sort of lost sort of the plot. you know what I mean? I lost the storyline and it was doomed. I thought personally the guy who played Solo did a great job.
He did an amazing
job. I mean, for like a tough role, like an all-time classic character, how do you, how could you possibly expect I don't know. Harrison Ford's a legend.
You reasonably can't come into that role and say, I'm going to be so good that people are going to say Harrison Ford who?
No way.
Right. It's just not going to happen.
Surrounded by multiple like great talents. Donald Glover.
Yes.
Amelia Clark. Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson was pretty good and he's been doing it for a long time. When you look at him, the guy was some Cheers or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
I loved a lot of the characters. You know, we learned those like, Infus Nest, like there's like a splinter group of the Rebellion and you know, Lando takes off on Han Solo there at the end. There's so many like great little things. I don't know. I really liked it. I want to go see it again.
That's a Lando thing, isn't it? He's just like, the screw you, I'm out of here.
I'm out. Peace.
I got my capes.
Capes his closet. Yeah. That's
like, you
gotta
love that.
The Full of Sith podcast, she's like, I just want his closet. I was like, me too, dude. Right. That closet is pretty epic, man. Like, look at all his capes.
This is a rare cape.
So amazing, Donald Glover, and then he drops his new song at the same time. You know, he's the big winner out of all this, frankly, if you ask me.
I agree.
Step back and you look at everybody, and other than Chewbacca, who actually now doesn't have a life debt, or does he? Did he join willingly? There's a lot of because my thing too, when you think about picking apart as a fan, like I read those Chuck Wendig novels, and the second one of that trilogy, Aftermath trilogy, is life debt. So, is Chewie's life debt to Kashyyyk, or is it to Han? Or I think actually I was listening again, Full of Sith, just thinking about it, it's like I think Han has a life debt to Chewie, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that are kind of I think open for development and other little spinoffs too. I don't know.
Okay, that's interesting.
That meeting was pretty sweet, though, right? I mean, it's just like the pits of Jabba's palace when they come back. I don't know. There's a lot of beautiful cinematography.
I like that.
So what would you like to see, like, next movies in terms of just the anthology stuff?
Well, I mean, we mentioned it. Is there Kenobi? Boba Fett, though, we kind of get that from the prequels with Jango Fett. Yeah. I mean, do we need a Boba Fett movie? No, they'll probably just give it to us because his costume is so sick.
And they explained
it. I dare you to try and take on Andrew.
Well, no.
What?
I think you're trash me. I'm still not changing positions.
What's the position?
As a Boba Fett fan,
you need it. You need it. Yeah, I think they need to serve those populations. I don't care either. I just lap all this stuff. I'm pretty uncritical.
Personally, I wonder is until maybe one way that they bring fan base in is they loop Fett and Obi-Wan into the same general storyline as Solo. Maybe it all plays back.
It should, and they do a lot of those. Crimson Dawn, yeah.
Crimson Dawn.
Maul, yeah, yeah. No, Maul, who knows? Watch Maul become like the sleeper.
Could you see that? Like Bubba Fett?
I would love it.
But he's dead, I think he's definitely dead. But yeah, the bounty hunter thing is cool. I think you need a bounty hunter story.
But they also, like during the Clone Wars, they showed Bubba Fett growing up, remember, and he was a part of the the assassins or the bounty hunters. Do you remember those episodes when he was a kid? And then,
I'd
have to rewatch. They took care of him. That one woman.
I've lost it.
Good timing because I'm actually at that part right now, rewatching the Clone Wars.
Yeah,
so,
it's tough to keep track of it.
Rewatching, I've seen it already. But
I have to rewatch. I'm rewatching it myself. I can keep watching the Clone Wars.
It was Boba with Bosk, which was like one of the really cool tie-ins to the original. Amara's son.
That's what they were talking about actually on this thing I was listening to. I was like, I forgot about Amara's son.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we do get to see a little bit of Boba as he grows up and as he starts to take on more, which is interesting because in the Clone Wars he doesn't really take to the bounty hunter lifestyle that quickly. But
what choice does he have? Let's face it.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the blood. He's literally a clone of his dad. Right. That just kind of seems to be
not programmed.
Just not programmed.
Yeah, and he's got a grudge. He's got a life grudge against Kenobi.
There you go. So, but I think it would be cool. Maybe that's a way to bring back in the fandoms is let's bring Boba Fett in as a relatively newer bounty hunter. Let's bring Kenobi in to finish it out and actually kill Maul.
I don't know if they'll have him kill Maul. That'd be weird, actually. I wonder where they set the Kenobi movie.
Right.
Because that's like later, Ben.
Anyway. Yeah, that's like Rebels, like at the end.
But that's also him being real life.
Rebels. Oh, I'm sorry.
Speaking of which,
we just spoiled that for you.
I'm walking into when I come into these shows.
We just spoiled that. We spoiled that.
Does anyone like have a vendetta against Kenobi? Like everyone seems to have a vendetta against Kenobi.
Well, I mean, it was him and Skywalker. They were the top two Jedis in the galaxy. So I like old Ben a lot. Right. What do you got next for me, Star Wars wise? Or I could geek out on other things too. They're getting deep sidebar over here.
Did you just get into the voodoo?
Voodoo?
No, I didn't get into the voodoo.
Oh wow,
I've not attained that level yet.
Give me time, man. King of voodoo.
What is your voodoo?
King of the voodoo. I'm not giving you my password.
No password. I don't.
You jumped in front of me.
You will not have my voodoo account.
I don't care.
Hugh
smash.
We talked about Hugh getting mad before, and I don't have any bacon here to save me. So
like no voodoo.
So let's move on to our game.
Nice game time.
We're gonna call it.
Thank you for indulging me on all that.
And no, thank you for
some good stuff. We should be very fortunate. I just like as a closing shot, we can debate this and dissect this, and there are some negative aspects, but we are very fortunate to be Star Wars fans right now. I think it's important.
I think you can say that for a lot of fandoms right now.
For sure. I think it is
movie on movie.
There's a lot going on for fans out there of these things, but you know, as a big Star Wars geek myself, and again, now trying to teach a class and expose students to some of these beautiful narrative elements, and then of course dissect the media business behind it. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's just a great time to be a nerd.
Yes,
it is.
Cool. Thank you for that.
Realize how fortunate we are because I grew up with some crap.
Right.
Like I saw like the first Captain America movie that was like in the 90s or 80s.
Oh, you poor man.
And the first Fantastic Four movie.
Right. Yeah, animations come so far. We do owe the end. And one thing I've learned and I reflect on, sorry to interrupt you there, is to really give kudos to like the original people at ILM and at Lucasfilm and who are still acquired and are still part of like their own entity up there in the Presidio of San Francisco. Like the groundbreaking things, like there's a new Jurassic Park movie out. Who did the first effects? ILM. So there's just still a lot of great things that stretch across all of these movies, and there's this beautiful little nugget, I think, for people to take away, and there's some good documentaries on YouTube all about Industrial Light and Magic. There's a lot to say for their talent and their ability to create these worlds that these directors have come up with. I think that's my last shout out to the people that put these movies together.
All right.
Well, let's move on to our game. It's called The Internet Said It's True. So basically, I think the way producer Vince described this, we've got four pieces of paper. Three of them.
Oh, whoa. There are papers.
Yeah. Three of them are true stories. Oh, Reed's going to grab one, and then we're going to try and identify which one producer Vince completely pulled out of his ass.
Nice.
Richard goes first.
All right. Domino's pizza customers complained about pies being delivered, but stop looking at me.
I'm doing it for the Instagram.
The nationalized retailer, finding no fault internally, is taking the problem to the streets literally. Dude, you said this was short. Drivers hitting potholes in small Texas towns are to be blamed for the topsy-turvy pepperonis and Italian.
Yeah.
Okay, can't read. I'm sorry. Chain is filling every pothole in town. Paving,
this is great local news.
Right, paving for pizzas.
Journalism
will
is alive.
Ensure that Bartonville, Texas residents and those living in three other towns can call delivery with no fear.
Fake news.
You're telling me that Domino's decided that it was because of potholes,
right,
that pizzas were getting flipped over, and they decided to go fill potholes because of it?
That's why Vince...
I'm calling fake news, so watch me be totally wrong.
No, they do have
pizza insurance, so maybe they're...
Oh, my God, they do? So, is that a thing?
Know, this
is that
sounds
a thing?
So crazy that it's real.
All right.
Shit real.
So I'm going to go real
thing
on that.
One story, Vince? Or?
Yes, it's one story out of Bartonville, Texas. Thank you very much for sharing that local news story, Richard. It's real, but I'm calling it fake news.
Okay,
it's real, but I'm just going to say fake news.
It's real.
I'm going to say that to everyone.
All right, Andrew.
Spoiler alert.
Go ahead.
Oh, I get to go. This is fake news. Okay.
Right.
The temperatures are high. Swimming pools are open, and the sun stays out into the night. Summer is here. Sonic has the perfect way to recapture the summer flavor and get refreshed at the same time.
Is this a story or an ad?
Every ad is a story.
Oh, God.
Dive in to a pickle juice slushy at America's Drive-In. Alongside
that's
other
real
classic flavors like...
Have you been drinking these? This is
Tiger's Blood. Whoa, watch the language. When Andrew talks,
okay,
it's all
America.
PC Captain America. Alongside other classic flavors like Tiger's Blood, Blue Hawaiian, and Bahama Mama.
Oh, that's real.
These drinks are sure to help you, in the word of one company executive, create some new summer memories. That is true.
Tiger's Blood?
That's true. Tiger's Blood,
right?
Bahama Mama, and
Tiger's
Blue
Blood is real.
Tiger's Blood's a real thing.
Like
so Sonic can do whatever they want, obviously, and they definitely won the ad game on that one. I love pickle juice. It's a big recovery thing. I've been reading about athletes drinking pickle juice and stuff. It's a new craze. It's sweeping America this summer.
Yeah.
Oh,
juice.
Boy.
Yeah. Get it, man.
All right, so yeah, thank you for letting me read that.
I'm going to say that's a thing.
My Sonic ad.
Luxury brands everywhere are eager to capitalize on the sweeping internet culture, and Brooks Brothers is no exception, acknowledging that no one really needs the $20 pocket square tossed into a suit purchase. They have developed an all-new mammogram.
You get a free mammogram.
Sorry,
with your suit.
On you there, dude. That was so funny. I went. We are just in the red. We are off track. Nerd AF is lost.
Oh my god! I don't want no mammogram with my suit.
So wait, where were we? Okay, Brooks Brothers and Monogram. Let's get back to Hugh. Huge.
Butchering this, acknowledging that no one really needs a $20 pocket square tossed into a suit purchase. They have developed an all-new monogrammed fabric square with purpose. Sexual encounters while wearing suits are almost unavoidable, and now an easy cleaning stain-proof solution exists for wiping up when the deed is done.
They're doing butt wipes?
No. Oh my god.
This is like there's some Dollar Shave list of butt wipes. Brooks Brothers has butt wipes?
Right.
Wait, time out. What's going on here?
Solo or in a group? This stylist.
Oh, you're not done.
This is not real. No, he's not done.
This stylist mess towel can be wiped quickly and discreetly and be tucked back into your breast
mess
pocket. Wait, time out, time out, time out. News.
This is good. This is horrible.
That's real. That's real. It's too obnoxious to be fake.
We're out too hard.
You can't make that shit up.
Stop. Stop this. This is bro talk. I will not have this on the new podcast.
Oh, sorry.
We can't bro out this hard. We have to be more diverse and... The mess pot? What is the thing called?
The monogram mess rag.
Mess rag? It's so nasty.
Monogram fabric.
Fake news. Fake news.
Fake news.
Shut it down.
Fake news. All right, sexual encounters.
We've determined that the slushies are real and... But Domino's is the outlier. We're losing focus here.
Domino's is focused.
I think it's a tie for me between
pickle
Brooks
juice.
Pickle juice is real.
And what is this?
I almost bought it the other
day. Pickle juice is real.
Esports athletes are getting serious. And these days, just a console argument doesn't cut it. Athletic equipment now includes the correct energy drink, home entertainment center, and posturepedic furniture. Luckily, now the latter can be inexpensively flat shipped to your door with some delicious meatballs. That's right. IKEA has announced that they are entering the esports market, designing luxury seating options with the aging gamer in mind.
Real.
One project member remarked, "This could replace the kitchen chair to many gone." What was that word? To many game in ruining our backs. Yeah.
So IKEA is getting into the design around esports.
That sounds legit.
Is that what we're saying?
I know it's real because anything IKEA, they always try to push meatballs on you. The Swedish meatballs. Because that shit just... That's weird.
I guess I lost the plot on that one.
I'm between
the meatballs have to do
esports thing being fake.
Okay.
Because we're all on the esports train. We'll think that anything esports...
Right, anything. I'm like, I could see that.
That might be fake. Okay. Or Domino's is fake.
No, I know
Domino's. This pocket square is real as fuck.
That is so gross. I gotta see this.
No.
I gotta understand.
I know
Domino's. What's the branding on this?
I know Domino's because I saw pictures posted of every pothole. They put their logo on it,
I know Vince is
too,
a
so
producer.
I'm going to say that.
This stylus mesh towel. The mess towel.
That's what's
monogrammed. Okay.
Towel.
Let's each pick one.
Okay.
You want to do that? So, Richard, what do you think is fake? We'll just go in the order we read.
Oh, my God. I really think... I'm sorry. When I shop for my wedding... No, they just like gave me the pocket square. I think that's fake.
Okay, so
just,
pocket
like,
square is
it.
Fake.
Yeah.
Andrew, what's
I
fake?
I'm going to go with the Brooks Brothers thing being fake.
Brooks Brothers is fake.
As
Hugh
a
Johnson
warrant.
Says esports is fake.
Oh boy.
As a gamer, that's bold. That's a bold call.
I'm going to go esports on that cuz I don't believe IKEA ever manufactured anything that comfortable. So What we got? What we got?
Brooks Brothers.
I'm here to
bring the reality. Although I will say I jumped on that Domino's thing and that was not fair to Domino's.
No,
they've done a lot of innovative things as a brand.
Yeah.
So
once I saw the pizza
kudos
insurance
to them.
Thing, I'm like,
Man, when they came out with a truck, it's like this, we always gonna keep your pizza hot. In the truck, I'm like, okay, this is
all right,
much.
Guys, we got rapid fire plugs here because we got Andrew's gotta go. So
I guess I do.
Sorry.
Real quick.
No, whatever.
Plug what you're doing pop culturally or otherwise.
Sweet. Thank you. Do you mind if I go first?
Yeah,
just because I want to hear from you guys to end. Wednesday night, actually, I will be on Colorado Open Media, Datmocracy. It's like this comedy thing with some other journalists from Denverite and Westword and NPR, KUNC, CPR, one of those radio brands here. And I'm a little intimidated because I don't know what to expect. You can catch me on the Sticker Stories podcast for stickergiant.com/podcast, where we're doing those small business stories for business growth and marketing. And if you're really interested in what I teach at the University of Denver, we have some great students producing work related to the stuff I talk about with Star Wars. Of course, cannabis journalism, which is the beat that I follow. That's how I know Vince, of course. And then in general, just the future of journalism here on the Front Range. So I'm very excited to see what happens with the Colorado Sun. We talked about that, and I'll be following that story very closely, and very huge thanks to these three fine gentlemen that I'm sitting at the table with, Vince and Andy, for having me back to wrap up your first season. Wow, what an accomplishment. The inaugural season finale.
Right on. Right on, right on.
The beginning of the end.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, no, all you.
Okay.
We're going this way.
Okay. I am super excited again about the new Resident Evil. I knew a little bit about it, and I really did a lot more research. They're building it from the ground up. It is a complete reboot. They're just not enhancing like the old game, Resident Evil 2. They're doing it from the ground up. They have a lot of the characters from Resident Evil 2.
So new story as well?
No, it's the same story. They're going to change some things in it, of course, but it's basically the same story. And it has Leon and Claire in it. Okay. So I'm really excited to have like the male, female, you know, heroes, and you can play both. So I'm really excited about that. You can see me or talk to me at Storm78704 on the Twitters. So come say hi.
T-Scott.
Nice. Revisionist History, another podcast that I absolutely adore. It's by a sociology? Oh my gosh, words are hard. Social scientist named Malcolm Gladwell. I absolutely adore his work. He's written a bunch of books about just kind of overlooked or misinterpreted areas of society. Mm-hmm. And his podcast does an amazing job of examining some really interesting topics. And so season 3 just started recently. I have been so happy about that because I just burned through his podcast back history when I first found it. And so highly recommend that if you're looking for just a really thoughtful, interesting thing to listen to on the way to work, I would recommend that, definitely.
And where are you on Twitter?
Oh, that's right. On the Twitterverse and Instagram, it's Wild Wanderer, WYLD_Wanderer.
Nice. You know you can find your boy on Twitter, at HughJohnson707. Going to shout out Mile High Comics again for hosting us.
Thank you.
Big time Denver Comic Con this weekend. Also some great deals. Got the opportunity to pick up quite a few comic books for myself and for my daughter. Got to read the first Ironheart, Riri Williams' Ironheart of the Invincible Iron Man series. Richard is holding up a little Swamp Thing thing. They had like 40 to 50% off on sales. I got the first five issues of the Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, essentially the beginning of Miles Morales' storyline. So I'm really excited. Haven't dove into that, but very excited. Thank you for joining us today. Remember, you can find us online at NerdAFShell, pretty much everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And tune in next time. Thanks.
Nerd AF is a production of F420 Films. We are produced this week, as we are every week, by Andy Caldwell and Vince Chandler. We are hosted by Hugh Johnson, Tyler Scott, and Richard Williams. Thank you again to Andrew Matanga for joining us this week to chat Star Wars.
What a season.
Yes. Woo!